I need you, and you need me. Sorry about that, but it's true. We need one another in the family of God. This was what we were thinking about last week, how we need one another. Looking at how the church is not just a bunch of disconnected individuals, but that we are a people, that we've been made a people by Jesus, that he purchased us, the New Testament said, he purchased us with his blood, and we are his own possession, is the language of 1 Peter 4. We're a family. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other, deeply interdependent, profoundly connected to one another. That's kind of the objective truth of who we are, but of course, like, what does that actually mean? What does that mean for us this morning? A very diverse bunch of people. You know, we definitely won't know everyone in the room. We come from different backgrounds. We're at different stages in our journey in terms of our faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here, I hope there are some here who don't have any faith yet and just maybe exploring. We're so glad you're here if that's you, if you don't know where you stand before God. And we really hope that you feel welcome to ponder some of these things here this morning and in general. But what does it look like for us in practice to be the church? You know, if you're like an artist or a like deep thinker, philosopher like Dan McKeldry, he's a theology student. He's a deep thinker, right, Dan? Yeah. So the Dans among us love to ponder the reality of profound interdependence and deep connection together. Maybe you love thinking about that, but maybe for others of us, just give me some detail. Tell me what that looks like. I need a schematic. What am I to do in this? What does life in the church look like? Well, we are in a new little series looking at our membership covenant. And we've got this and at least 5 more weeks after this. I'm not sure, we might do a 6th, but I'm not sure. But we're pondering the 6 commitments that we make to one another as we think about life in the church. These are here. If you've got a notice sheet, they're on the back of your notice sheet as well. As we think about life as members in Jesus' church. And I thought, you know, before we dive into the first one, we're going to look at gather today. These are in no particular order, by the way, on the back of your sheet, but we're going to look at gather. What does it mean to gather together? I just thought it'd be helpful to give maybe a little bit of background on the whole idea of what a membership covenant is. So as you think about life together, brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ, there is some detail in what that should look like in the New Testament. Life together as God's people is to involve certain things. And the New Testament has loads to say on what does it mean to live well as a child of God within God's family. So as we think about life in Hillview, we think it's worthwhile and important to have some sort of shared understanding of what that family life should look like. But here's the thing. While the New Testament does have an awful lot to say about how life should work, family life should work in the church, in terms of structures and organizations, the New Testament leaves loads of room for different churches to conceive of how they structure things like church membership. So you see this in the Bible loads. There are loads of important principles on some things, but then lots of room left to apply those principles in different cultures and at different times. It's one of the wonderful things about the Bible, full of truth, and truth written in such a way that we here can apply this to our context in Aberdeen in 2018 just as much as they could apply it in the first century of this millennium. So at Hillview, our current understanding of what church membership should look like is built around 6 commitments we make to one another in what is called our membership covenant. And you can see it there, as I've said, on the back of your notice sheet. And we're going to take a week on each one of these. Now, just a few further preliminary things to say about this membership covenant. First of all, this is not the only way to think about church membership. Other churches think about this subject very differently, and that is more than okay. So, Some of my very best friends lead or attend churches where they have no membership covenant like this, or even sometimes no defined membership list, and they have very good reasons for that, which I respect a great deal. Secondly, next thing to say, these are not, please hear me about this, these are not the entrance requirements for life at Hillview. If that was the case, none of us would be here. None of us would be a member of this church. It's not that you need to do these six things perfectly before you are welcome to be part of the church family. Rather, these are six commitments which we hope that together we might gladly aspire to. Things that hopefully we see in the scriptures that we say, yes, I want to live like that towards my brothers and sisters. Thirdly, as I've said, if you're not a member here, we're so glad that you're here. And we always hope that as our church grows and shifts in terms of its makeup, that there are lots of people who aren't yet members, who are maybe considering what that means, thinking about it. So we're glad that, you know, that we gather like that. There's a huge mix. I don't know what the balance is, but I suspect it's at least half as many people come on a Sunday who aren't members as who do. And that's, we're glad that you're here. And also, of course, the purpose of this is that we're hopefully trying to present a compelling vision of what membership in Jesus Church should look like. So we do hope that you would think about whether you could join as a member. And then finally, just to say that this is not an exhaustive list of what life in the church should look like, nor is it a perfect summary. So all of these things, I hope, we'll see as we search the scriptures in the coming weeks. All these sort of commitments are extracted from different parts of the Bible that make clear this is how the family of God should interact. And what we've tried to do is provide a reasonable level of detail without going too far. So there are about 59 one another commands in the New Testament. You know, love one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We've left that out of the membership covenant. You're welcome. But there are so many different one another's in the New Testament, and we are trying to do a certain amount of summarizing. And our hope is that these are six of the most fundamental, most repeated aspects of how the New Testament speaks about life within the family members in the church. I did preach a message back in 2015 exploring whether forgive should be a seventh membership commitment to make one to another. But we never quite found the right moment or the path to follow that through, so you'll just need to forgive me for that. But you can go back and listen to that message if you're interested in some of that background as well. So, with that context, we're not going to go into that context every single week, but we just wanted to give a little bit of background. We turn to this membership commitment, covenant commitment that's listed first there. And like I say, these are in no particular order, that we will gather. So it says on the website, it's worded like this on purpose because we know that we never get there, but we're praying for help in this. It says, with the Holy Spirit's enabling, we will. And by the way, in times past, we've spoken about these being promises. I think it's unhelpful because you're just setting yourself up to fail. So I think I'm now trying to use language of commitment, that these are commitments that with God's help, we're trying to make. With the Holy Spirit's enabling, we will gather. And then it says, we will make it a priority to gather together. This goes deeper than just Sundays. We'll endeavor to open our lives and be available to each other. What does it mean to be part of Hillview Community Church? It means that you show up. That you show up. Now, it's not lost on me this morning that I am, by definition, preaching to the choir, because I am preaching to people who have shown up here this morning. You're all here, at least you're all physically here. I don't know where your brains are at right now, but you're all here in this room. But we'll see that it means much more than just a physical presence. In God's family, you need to make an effort to be around, to be available, to connect with others. In order to know the blessing of being members of one body, you need to actually go to the homes of your fellow church members. You need to come to this church building or to wherever else you might gather. You actually have to to carve out time. You have to take a look at your diary and your priorities. If you want to be part of this church family, truly, it will require a sacrificing of certain other things. To get out your phone, as I do if I'm going to meet someone, and open my little Google Calendar and actually putting dates in the diary. Having folk round for dinner, or gathering together for an early morning prayer triplet or a late evening drink in town. Membership means showing up together. Now, on one level, this is just obvious, isn't it? Right? So, what does it mean to be a member of the PTA? Well, it means that you attend some of their meetings and their events. What does it mean to be a member of Costco? It means that you get to go to Costco and buy ridiculously oversized things in quantities that you never need and have storage space for in your house, but you do get to go and gather with other Costcoites over in West Hill. What does it mean to be a member of an orchestra? It means that you show up at the practices and at the performances. What does it mean to be a member of a golf club? It means that you gather with a few mates and have a few rounds throughout the year. What does it mean to be a member of the gym? It means that they take £45 out of your account every month and you sit home eating Doritos feeling guilty and resentful about that fact, right? Can I hear an amen? Please. I quit my gym membership for that reason. I had too many months along those lines. Keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. So membership requires that we be together. Think of the different images for the church. Members of a body. Sheep in a flock. Branches in a vine. Stones that make up a building. Children within a family. Presence is absolutely essential to all of those. It doesn't work. You know, if I lop my hand off, is it still part of my body? Well, maybe you could conceive of it as being that way for a little while, but you know, I better get it to Craig Brown or to some other doctor here who can help me connect it back. Because if it stays disconnected from the body, it ceases to be part of the body. It ceases to be alive. It's done for. As children of God, as parts of the church, the body of Christ, we have to be with other believers. It's an oft-used metaphor. I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but I like it. As a red-hot coal is removed from a fire, it quickly loses its glow when it's removed from that fire. So in the same way, alone Christian will not last long without a community of faith for support and togetherness. We have to gather together. Now, this is an easy point to make, but of course, this is one of our greatest challenges in our context in 2018 in Aberdeen, with so much else on our plate. I mean, I know how busy some of you all are in the lives that you lead. With so much going on, this is not easy. Work commitments, family time, study commitments, and then important other things like leisure time, TV shows that we enjoy, social engagements, sporting commitments, rest time, leisure pursuits, holidays. It's hard. And then I know that just for some of us here, it's just hard in terms of personality type. Some of us don't find it easy connecting with other people, either like this on a Sunday or indeed at a deeper level in smaller groups. Some of these realities are unavoidable, some of them less so. None of the things that I've mentioned in and of themselves are bad particularly, but we sometimes speak about the need to live counterculturally. And this is one area, dear friends, if we are going to make space for loving our church family well and loving our neighbors well, we will need to make some hard calls if we are to prioritize gathering together. if we are willing to say to God and our other brothers and sisters, I'll be there because you need me. I'm not going to manage to everything. I'm not going to make it to every meeting. No one here expects you to, but I am going to come. You will see me in your life. I want to make life in this church one of my priorities. Now, this is all over the New Testament, the importance of gathering together. Think first of how Jesus lived. When Jesus came to this earth, it says in John chapter 1 that he dwelt among us. He entered in to this world and he literally journeyed. Some people don't like that word, it's overused perhaps. But Jesus literally journeyed with a close community, spending time in various types of sizes of groups, larger crowds, but then also just an important time, just with a few close connections, sharing in life together. That's how Jesus lived. Then, when Jesus ascended into heaven, what was the first thing the disciples did? But they got together and gathered for prayer. So, if you have your Bible, I'm going to start in Acts chapter 1. We're mainly going to be in Hebrews 10, but we're just going to jump through just a few verses before we get to Hebrews. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Jesus ascends into heaven, and then it says, then they returned to Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Do you think any of them might have wanted to just give up at that point? That this is too much? Just going to go back to comfort zone? But they gathered. They returned and they got together and they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit falls and Peter preaches his first sermon there. And then we get the summary sentence of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to certain things. Certain things that necessitated them being together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That is that deep sharing of life together with God and with one another. To teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to it. Look at verse 44. You see, this is going to take sacrifice. Look at verse 44. And all who believed. This is right at the start of the church. Everyone who believed were together and had all things in common. That's challenging, right? And look at verse 46. Day by day, there is a day-by-day reality to this. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food and with glad and generous hearts. So they meet together sometimes in homes, sometimes in other locations, but they are gathering together and they are together seeking God. And you see this right throughout the book of Acts. So, for example, in chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested and then they are set free. And then it says there, it says in verse 23 of chapter 4, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. I never noticed that before, but I love how it says they went to their friends. You know, gathering the church and hanging out with friends should not be two completely distinct categories. We should be friends. We should have among us friends. I love that they went to hang out with their friends. This is togetherness. This is family, friendship. And then we see it in other ways in the New Testament. When Paul is writing his letters, he regularly greets those who have opened their homes for the church to gather. They are together. But we're just going to jump to Hebrews 10, because I said that's where we're headed, because there is this passage in Hebrews 10, which is probably clearer than any other on this point. It's in... cheesy joke coming up, sorry. It's in what is sometimes called the lettuce patch of the New Testament. Any idea why it's called the lettuce patch? Because the writer keeps saying, let us. Who said that? Who did that? So Hebrews 10, in the run-up to this passage, right, the writer is sharing all this incredible good news about the way that Jesus has opened up a way for us to come back to relationship with God. Yeah, good, right? And then you get to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. We'll read these five verses together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what amazing good news we have here in these verses. You know, right there from the start, it's saying that because of Jesus, I can have confidence that I can come to God and that God will not turn me away. Except that's not what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says we have confidence that Jesus has opened a way for us. So let us draw near. This passage of the New Testament is not the let I passage. The let I patch of the New Testament. It's the let us patch of the New Testament. How wrongly we have communicated what Christianity is about, with an overemphasis on an individual connection with Jesus. Just you and you and you individually get right with Jesus and everything is going to be okay. It's not at all what you read in the New Testament. Nine ways, at least as the ESV translate this passage, nine ways in five verses the writer makes clear this is about us. And then we get to our key verse. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is talking about the final day, the day when Jesus will return and bring all things to consummation, to its right conclusion. I want to start with the warning in the middle of these verses. Don't neglect to meet together. So hear God's word this morning. Why do we have gather as an important commitment that we make one to the other? It says because the Bible says don't not gather. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up being together. Don't miss this. Don't give up on this. And do you see the way it's worded? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. This has become a habit for some people. Not meeting together has become a habit in their lives. There is a pattern that you can form in your life where removing yourself from church community can become a habit. That can become an inclination. That can become something that you default to. So this can happen in a couple of ways. It can happen within one church where you gradually pull back from this prayer meeting. You gradually pull back from attending that small group. You gradually stop coming to this service, or at least to so many services. You gradually pull away from this ministry team that you were once connected in, until disconnection like that can become your new normal. It's the habit of some. Such a person might say that Hillview is their church home, but they don't really share in life in any particular way with almost anyone in the church. It's become their habit to remove themselves to an extent. It can happen in that way, or it can happen as you consider those who are perhaps new to a church, who come around a church from time to time. So the writer is saying that there are those who have made a habit of this problem, a habit of not meeting together, who perhaps go to this church, who settle for a little while, and then leave. And then go to another church, who settle for a little while, and then leave. In fact, we have heard testimonies in this church of people who did that for some decades of their life and now have profound regrets, now realize the impact that that has had on them, their children, those around about them. This has become a habit, not meeting together with any degree of consistency and deep connection, which I think the New Testament speaks to. If that's you, I just plead with you, I really encourage you to find a local church where you can plug into and put your roots down there. It need not be Hillview Community Church. I really, really don't mind if this is not the place for you. Of course, we want to welcome you as well as you can. And of course, we want to together celebrate who Jesus is. And if you would come and celebrate Jesus with us and seek his purposes, we will be so thrilled, so thrilled. But I tell you what, one of the first things I try and say to people who I meet for the very first time here is say, thank you so much for coming. Hey, can I just say, if this wasn't for you, come and speak to me and I'll tell you of a bunch of other brilliant churches around Aberdeen. Because, like, just these songs, this environment, the way we do things here in Hillview is not going to be for everyone. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why we have the variety in the body of Christ that we do. But just please don't fall into the habit of being someone who repeatedly, in whatever way, does not connect with others in Jesus' church, who has formed a habit of disconnection. So I just now want to close just with these encouragements that we see in these verses. This is challenging, right? Life is busy. I am aware of the pressures that come in life. But I just want to ask us now to consider, who is Lord over my schedule? As we think about these encouragements. It says there, verse 24, let us consider. Let us consider these things. Let us consider how to stir one another up and so on. Can I just encourage you, try and find some time this week and just look at your diary. Look at your commitments in your life and just ask yourself, what does your diary communicate about where your priorities are in life? Take time to consider your connection to God, your connection to your family, and your connection to your work and other things, and indeed your connection to this or a local church. What habits are yours as you look at your diary and as you look at the things that you just choose to ignore from your diary? What are your inclinations? What ways might, you know, consider how might I be a blessing and a help to others in this church? I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this in The Message. He says, let's see how inventive we can be at stirring others up. So would you consider that this week? Let us consider how to stir up one another. Gathering together in Jesus' church is not a passive thing. In the family of God, there is a continual giving and receiving that happens. So you, for example, you could come to almost every single Sunday service. You could be a part of a small group. You could even be on a rota for some sort of ministry. But the question is, are you doing what this is saying? Are you spurring others on? Are you blessing and helping others? Are you stirring them up? Are you motivating them, as the New Living Translation puts it? Are you motivating them to serve Jesus more fully? Is that what it means for you to be a part? How have you done that in the last week? How have you spurred someone else on? And then we just say, thank you, God, that there's grace and hope for me for this coming week. How will you stir someone else up? Fire them up. Encourage them. Challenge them. Motivate them. Two, to love. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Much of what we have been looking at in this message has, by definition, been inward looking. We are considering how we relate together as brothers and sisters. This is different from our vision statement where we're saying, God, what are you calling us to in the coming years? This is about how we relate to one another, but it cannot end with us looking inward. We are to live together in such a way that we spur one another on to love and good deeds. Are you gathering in such a way that you're helping some people around about you in this church family to become more like Jesus, to become more concerned with the things that Jesus was? You see, this is where it just cannot only be about Sunday gatherings. You cannot do that on a Sunday morning. There has to be a deeper connection, whether small groups or prayer triplets or discipling relationships. Who are you pouring into who is living more for the kingdom of God because of you in their life? Stir one another up to love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. Dear friends, how we could do better at this. Living in Aberdeen is not an excuse. Is your disposition one which naturally seeks to encourage others? Or are you wired to naturally critique, criticize, see the flaws, see the problems? Encourage one another. We all need this, right? We all have struggles. We all have frustrations. We all have multiple ways that others have let us down in this church. I know that. You know that. Try and live with encouraging words for those who you find yourself in contact with. Who can you send a little message? Would it be too much to once a day or every second day put a little recurring appointment in your diary to say, which member of Hillview Community Church can I send a wee message just to say, here, brother, sister, be blessed. I see this in your life and it has really encouraged me. Thank you for the way that you have opened your heart so that God has been at work in your life, so that I see something of Jesus Christ in you. Thank you for that encouragement. It has spurred me on. Would it be too much for us to do that a few times a week? Encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is an urgency that the New Testament is soaked in. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to set all things right. Gather, connect, bless, encourage, participate, because Jesus is coming. How do you want him to find you in terms of your engagement in his church, his bride, who he loves, who he is beautifying and washing and purifying? Do you live with that urgency? May we live well, dear friends, as the family of God. May we live well as we gather together, opening our lives and our homes, lifting others up, encouraging and helping others in our time of need. We've known a bit of this recently, right? in the sadness of the many, many challenges among us in the church, there has been a sense that we've just wanted to be together. Many of us. And I know that that's like, there's loads of pockets of that going on that I know nothing about. Every so often I catch a little glimpse of another little meeting that's happening. It just thrills me to bits. We have known of that natural inclination that we are not on our own, but we are deeply connected to others. So we've gathered together. May we lift others up. May we encourage and help others because Jesus is coming back. Jesus, church, needs to live as Jesus did when he was on earth. Our world needs us to function well as the body of Christ. And a huge part of that is how we show to the world we are with one another. We're opening our lives. We're gathering others in. May we gather well as Jesus' church. Let's pray. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from that fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So God, now again, we just cast ourselves on your grace, your kindness that we don't deserve. And we ask that in your grace, you would now draw near to us as we consider Jesus, as we consider the way he lived and moved and acted, as we consider the fact that he's coming again soon, how we need your grace as we think about what it means to be your church. Help us rest in your blessing, in your goodness, in your kindness now. And in that context, we just submit ourselves to you afresh. We give you this church, and we give you our part in this church, or any church that we're connected to. And we pray that you would help us as we open our lives up to our brothers and sisters. Friends, just as the Spirit is here at work, just take a moment and just ponder, what is one little thing you need to change this coming week? God's help. The Spirit's enabling. What's one thing?